Hi, everybody. I'm Sam, and this is My Sister's Diary. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of My Sister's Diary. I'm your host, Sam, and happy Tuesday, everybody. I hope you guys are all having a great day. And if you're not, then go find something that makes you happy and do it. I've been thinking that we need a name for like my listeners, and I don't really have a good idea. I could call you guys sisters, but that's like already taken by people and it's not very creative. And I could call you the diaries, but that sounds like diarrheas. And I could call you readers, but that's like a Bridgerton thing. So I don't really know. I don't know what I can call you guys, but if anyone has a good idea, let me know and we'll implement it. Okay, let's talk today about bad roommates. Most people are coming towards the end of school, college especially. Well, not especially. My brain. You guys. Okay, it's nearing the end of school. College, where you have roommates, is ending for the summer, unless you do summer semester. So I thought it'd be a good time to talk about roommates and the stories that go along with it. I will preface by saying I don't think I was always the best roommate. I will be 100% honest. And I think you're lying if you say, well, I was the best roommate ever. If you think you were the best roommate, that's probably a good indication that you were the roommate that people talk about. I'm just kidding. But maybe, you know, I truly don't think that anybody was ever, like, there's not one person out there who was the best roommate ever and never did anything wrong. Like, it's hard, you know, when you're coming into adulthood, I guess, and you've never lived anywhere else besides your parents' house, and you're learning how to live with people who aren't your siblings or your parents for the first time, and everybody, you're realizing that everybody was raised differently and everybody lives differently within their own home. And it's hard to mesh those all together, especially when I feel like a lot of dorms these days have six people in them. And that's a lot of people to be meshing together. And yeah, so we're going to read some stories about that. First, I wanted to talk a little bit, because I talked about it on Instagram already, about the secret lives of Mormon wives. Hold on, I have to sniff my nose, and I'm doing a one-take wonder today. Sorry, that was disgusting. Anyway, so Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. My cousin had, I know it's, you guys are like, this is old news, Sam, shut up. You know what? Yeah, you're right, it is old news. But now you've already heard everybody else's takes, and now's a great time for me to throw my take into the mix, okay? So my cousin, Lindsay, she threw a party it's like a big bag party, if you guys haven't heard about that. It's basically where you just bring your favorite food, and there's a bunch of food at the party, and everybody eats it, so we had a big back party for the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, and we also made like these cute little lip gloss charms, I guess. So you like put a charm on a lip gloss. I don't know. It's cute. And yeah, that was really fun. I drove out to, it was about 4-hour drive away. And so I stayed with my parents. I left two of my kids home, and then I took my baby with me because he's still nursing. And he did really good on the way there. I left like kind of when he would go to bed normally, so he just slept pretty much the whole way. And coming back, he did really good, except for when we were about an hour away, probably an hour and a half, maybe an hour and a half away from getting back to my house, he decided he was done with the car, and he just screamed bloody murder. And I like pulled over to see if he wanted to eat a seat, if he needed his seat to see if he needed his diaper change. No, he was just sick of the car. He was so over it, and he just screamed bloody murder. And I put my headphones in and cranked them up to the highest they would go. And I probably have permanent hearing damage now, but I don't know what it is. My nerves, like, I cannot handle, I don't know, a lot of sound. If it's not necessarily loud sound, but like my kids crying specifically really triggers me and sets me off. And I'm not using the word trigger just because it's a buzzword. It really does. Like, it sets me off and puts me on edge. And so hearing him scream bloody murder for an hour and a half, my nerves were shot by the time I got home. I was like, Robbie, you need to take him. And I need to go be in silence for a minute. So anyway, shout out to all the moms who drive with their kids. It's a lot of work. It really, really is. And I can't wait for the day that I can drive with, I mean, not that I'm excited to stop nursing. I'm actually really sad about it, but it'll be nice to go somewhere, not take my baby and just kind of drive without kids, you know, that'll be great. That'll be amazing. Anyway, The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Let's talk about it for just a minute. I don't really have a lot of thoughts that I didn't share on Instagram, but basically my main like points I want to talk about, I guess, are let's just kind of start with the beginning. So the beginning, there was a scene with Jen and Demi and Jesse. Well, not a scene, but like some drama between all of them. And in my humble opinion, I feel like Jesse and Demi were in the wrong here. Like, I think them doing the whole Chippendale thing at the Halloween party was so rude. And they knew already. They were in Vegas when the whole thing went down with Jen and her husband and how he was mad about Chippendales. So why did they think that it would be fun and cute to do this to her again? And I know they talked to her about it before, but I don't think that Jen understood the extent of what was going to happen. I don't think she knew that people were going to be dancing on her. I think she just thought that they were going to like dress up and maybe do like a little dance on their own. I don't think they knew that Jen knew that they were going to be targeting her specifically. So I thought that was like such a mean girl move and not cool. Those girls aren't your friends in that situation. And I do think that they owed Jen an apology for that. And the whole thing with everyone's like, well, Jen is such a liar. I get it. There's some things that she lied about, but some of the things like her being an Affleck, she didn't know. Like she was told that she was, or that not that she was. She was told that Zach was related to him. And she didn't know that that wasn't true. So I don't know. To me, the lies that she did tell weren't like crazy enough for the reaction that they got from Demi specifically. Well, no, Jesse. Both of them like freaked out over all these lies that Jen had told. And I don't know. I think once they realized, at least for Jesse, once she realized the like mental health problems that Jen was going through, she was kind of like, okay. I'm sorry, but Demi's reaction to the video that Jen sent of her saying, like, I've been really struggling, and Demi was like, well, that doesn't excuse any of her behavior. And I'm like, you're right. It doesn't necessarily excuse it, but, like, can we give her some grace and some time, you know? And I don't know. She just seemed really unforgiving in that moment, and I didn't like that. Okay, let me think about the next thing. Oh, the whole Dakota and Jenna and Taylor situation. Jenna is braver than the Marines for coming on the show and talking about this because it was such a buzz in season one. And she was probably worried that people were going to like come after her for breaking Taylor and Dakota up, whatever, because people love them. People want Taylor and Dakota together, like the internet want them together, which I don't really have that strong opinions on. I don't really care. Like, we obviously don't know their situation because it's reality TV and we're only shown what we're shown. But I could definitely understand her devastation when she learned all the things she learned from Jenna about Dakota, because she gave him so many times. She's like, tell me the truth, tell me the truth. And he's like, no, I swear I didn't, I swear I didn't. And she told him, if I find out that you did, then I'm done. And I don't know what he expected when the lies came out. I don't know what he expected. But when they were all at dinner and I almost said Jenna. Taylor's dad said what he said to, I'm trying not to like do too many spoilers in case you haven't seen it, but he basically called Taylor trash. And that just, I just couldn't believe that her own family was going that hard at her. And they're like, well, just give Dakota some grace. And I'm like, can we not allow Taylor to be sad for a minute and to be disappointed in Dakota and to be mad because what he lied. He straight up lied. And it's not, he didn't lie about a little thing. He lied about a big thing. So I don't know. Not saying that little lies are any less, you know, hurtful than big lies. But, you know, in this situation, yeah, I do think that. Okay, let me think about the last thing I want to talk about. Oh, the downfall of Demi. I don't understand how she got, I feel like she hasn't really changed that much from season one. She just got a really good edit in season one. And you could kind of tell she had a little bit of mean girl vibes in season one. she definitely doesn't hold back. She says what she wants to say. She says what she wants to say, and she doesn't really apologize for it. So the whole Demi and Taylor thing, I don't know. I don't understand the reaction that Demi had to Taylor posting the thing on Instagram, that whole blow up. It seems like it's been pent up anger, and she finally has just had enough of Taylor. But like the rest of the girls don't feel that way. And so that whole thing at Jesse's house when they were talking about it was really awkward. I would not have liked to be there. It was really weird. And I don't understand the whole mom talk thing. Like, is it an actual business? Like, why are they voting people in and voting people out? I don't understand. All right. So let's move on from that. But it's definitely an interesting show. It's just trash TV. You know, people are like, I don't get it. I don't know why you watch it. It's not like it's, you know, like a cinematic masterpiece that I'm like, this is amazing. It's just entertainment, you know? And I understand these are people's lives. And so for me, I'm like, okay, well, this, to me, it's kind of like a little bit of make-believe. Like, it's not all real. And I understand that. And I hope that when people watch reality TV, that they also understand that there's producers who are producing a show, and they are making, you know, things look a certain way based on the way that they want it to go. So I don't know. I hope people realize that when they talk about it. Okay, let's get into these roommate stories, because we have quite a few. Let's start with number one. Hold on, let me get to the questions. The answers, I mean. Sorry, I just sniffed right into the microphone. Okay, I clicked on something and now it's doing the circle of death. So hold on, hopefully it will pull up. I'll sing to you guys while you're waiting. Okay, you probably don't like that. I'm gonna have to cut. I'm gonna have to edit, and I really don't want to have to edit because I'm recording this on Memorial Day, which is literally yesterday. You're listening to this on Tuesday. Yesterday I'm recording, and I know it's last minute. I know I keep saying that I'm gonna record ahead of time, but I never do. I just never do, and I'm not sorry about it because you guys don't care. Okay, it's not loading. Why is it not loading? I'm getting mad. Okay. Oh, there it is. So far, I can't see the whole thing. Okay. Number one says, instead of washing her jeans, my roommate would just put them in our freezer. She claimed that they were so expensive that the washer would ruin them and that the cold would remove any odor or dirt. She would also get very mad if anything was put on top of them and throw away everybody's food if there wasn't enough room. Freezers in college apartments are tiny as it is, and when you have to share them between six people, so to also have to make her room for her dirty laundry was ridiculous. Okay, maybe, I don't know science on this, but like maybe it could remove the odor. I don't really think so, but like removing the dirt is stupid. I'm sorry if you're the person who put your jeans in the freezer, but it cannot remove the dirt. Like if you spill spaghetti sauce on your jeans and you're like, well, let me just pop them in the freezer really quick and it'll get rid of it. That's not going to happen. They need washed in the washing machine. Or, I mean, you could just like spot wash them. Like if you spill something, or I don't know, you could just, you know, like dry clean them by yourself and just clean that one spot or whatever. I don't know. But that you are better than me, because I wouldn't put up with that. I'd be like, get your jeans out of the dang freezer. These are for food. If your jeans are in the freezer, I'm going to eat them. That's the rule, because freezers are for food or for ice packs. They're not for jeans and clothes. Okay, next one says it's loading. Okay, hopefully you can see me in the camera because I just moved it. Okay, I'm back. Sorry, my iPad logged me out. It's freaking rude, but whatever. Okay, let's move on. Next one says, okay, just trigger warning. This one has like violence and gang related activity. So if that's triggering to you, please skip ahead. Okay, my dorm mate was from a gang. What the heck? That was weird. I thought my microphone just cut out, but it did not. Okay. My doormate was from a gang in LA. One night she came home extremely cross-faded, drunk and very high. She was causing a lot of trouble and we didn't want to get caught with her. Me being in the best shape and was in charge of putting her to bed and trying to keep her there. Now, at the time, I was 150 pounds and she was maybe the same, so trying to keep her in bed was a major fight. But we did it and finally got some sleep. We thought this was going to be it. 2 weeks later, she came home even more cross-faded than the last time. The rest of us were all asleep, 6 people total. She came into the apartment screaming about how she was going to kill her brother and how he was a no-good effing waste of space. She began slamming the fridge and slamming dining chairs on the floor. 4 of us ran into one room and locked the door, which triggered her, and she sat outside our door flipping her switchblade. Finally, the other room of two called the RA and she came over, and our roommate acted like nothing was happening. After the RA left, she began beating the doors to get us to open it. All we had to protect ourselves was a little pocket knife I had for survival class I was taking. The other roommate called again, and this time the RA and the police showed up. When they went into her room, the walls were literally covered in beer cans, and her vents were covered so she could smoke. She came back 24 hours later and found me alone in the apartment, to which I totally ratted out the roommate that called her in so she didn't kill me, but was quickly escorted off campus. This is bonkers, first of all. This roommate is crazy. This is actually like so scary if you think about it, because when you go to college, some people go and have people that they are going with, and so they like room together or whatever and share an apartment. But when I first went to college, I didn't know. I just signed up for like a certain dorm, and then they put me with random roommates. And it sounds like this is probably what happened. At least, I don't know, maybe you had a couple people that you knew in the apartment, but for the most part, it sounded like you didn't really know them. So just to be thrown into the mix with people you don't even know is so scary, because you don't know those people. You don't know what they like to do for fun. You don't know if they're crazy and violent and like to flip their switchblade back and forth to scare you. This is so scary, and it's good of you to have called the police or whoever your RA. Yeah, the police, getting the police involved is absolutely necessary, because these things need to be documented. 100% need to be documented. And I am so sorry this happened. Hopefully you don't, you know, have nightmares. That would be the best case scenario. Okay, next one says, when I first got married, my husband would sleep on top of the blankets on our bed. It made sleeping together an absolute nightmare. I couldn't even roll over. Why would you do this? Like, why not just... Because sometimes I get too hot in my bed and I just like flip the blanket off of me. But if I were to sleep on top of it, Robbie couldn't even move his blanket. That would make me so mad. I would not let him do that. Maybe I'm a controlling freak, but I wouldn't let him do that. I'd be like, okay, well, I'm gonna get a twin size blanket and sleep with just one blanket then, because, well, I mean, you already were sleeping with one blanket, but you know what I mean, like get a smaller blanket so that he can lay on his side of the bed without a blanket, but you're not still sharing a blanket. Does that make sense? Because it's not like you guys are snuggling anyway, because there's a blanket in the way. So, I don't know. Husbands do the weirdest freaking stuff, okay? Women never do anything wrong. Okay, next one says, never saw... This one's really short and sweet, and I think a lot of us can relate. Never saw the floor of my roommate's side of the room. There's a lot of stories in here about dirty roommates, and, you know, like I said, you just are put into a group of people that you don't know. Or, I mean, sometimes some of these people may not have even been in college necessarily, but just mixing people's ways of living is hard, because like I like things cleaned a certain way in my own home, and so when other people are, you know, at my home and they do something and they clean it differently than I do, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll just clean that later. But like, if you have a roommate, they're not gonna leave. You can't just clean it for them later, like that, especially if it's their room. Like, you can't just clean up after them. And who would want to do that? I would not want to do that. Okay, next one. I was the bad roommate and wish I could take everything back and apologize profusely to them. To start off, I was definitely not mentally stable and should have been medicated, but I was really good at masking. My roommate left dirty clothes under her bed for a full month, which actually caused me to catch an extremely strong strain of mono. Didn't know this event that hold on. Didn't know until this event that people's uncleanliness could cause mono until I caught it. I have very functioning form of OCD, but still have to have things perfect or my mind goes absolutely crazy and I can't snap out of it until I control again. I need to restart the story. Okay. I was the bad roommate and I wish I could take everything back and apologize profusely to them. To start off, I was definitely not mentally stable and should have definitely been medicated, but I was really good at masking. My roommate left dirty clothes under our bed for a full month, which actually caused me to catch an extremely strong strain of mono. Didn't know until this event that people's uncleanliness could cause mono. I have a very high functioning form of OCD, but still have to have things just perfect or my mind goes absolutely crazy and I can't snap out of it until I find control again. Every time I walked into our room, a stench hit me in the face like a brick wall. I would clean as much of my side of the room as possible, organize my closet to perfection, and scrub the bathroom until it literally shined. But I still caught mono terribly, so terribly that my throat had a straw-sized opening and my liver was so swollen that it looked like I was 6 months pregnant. I traded rooms with the other messy roommate in our flat and asked that we keep the mess in that room and wash everything that they intended on keeping in the common area. They thought it was funny that I was in the ER and had to skip my athletic trainings for my sport and miss classes. I had a very low dose of laxative and put it in their orange juice and told my roommate that if they wanted to giggle at my expense, they could giggle and shit. I was so mad. Well, they reported me to the police, and I spent the day down at jail. Because I was so sick, my eyes kept watering. The cops thought I felt remorse, but on the contrary, at the time, I didn't. But now I wish they would answer my messages so I could apologize to them and let them know I got the help I needed and let them know what a mistake I made and how it haunts me constantly. You know, I don't think them calling the police was... Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's an overreaction. Like, a little bit of poop, who cares? You know, it's not like you're going to have diarrhea for the rest of your life. Then you're just going to poop for, like, a day. Okay? Not that big of a deal. They didn't need to call the police. In my opinion. Maybe they felt more threatened. I don't know. But, you know, it's really hard to not get frustrated when people aren't clean. And especially where you caught mono and were so sick and in the ER and they just thought it was funny. That makes me so mad when people are like, well, lighten up, it's funny. And I'm like, no, I do not have to lighten up. Just because you don't think it's a big deal doesn't mean that I have to also think it's not a big deal, because to me it is. And I think to anybody, being in the ER would be a big deal. So I don't know. I'm not saying that putting laxatives in other people's, you know, beverages is the right thing to do, but I don't think that them calling the cops was necessary. Like, they could have, I mean, I don't know, maybe I probably wouldn't have told them that I put laxatives in there. I probably would have just let them, you know, poop. Okay. And, you know, I think as time goes on, you'll be like, okay, you need to forgive yourself. Okay. It's fine. You didn't hurt them. They got diarrhea. They're fine. You didn't cause like permanent damage to them. They're fine. You know, when you have mono, I've heard that you have it forever. So they should be apologizing to you as well. Okay, moving on. My iPad is at 3%. So we'll try to get through this. Okay, next one says, One of my roommates would forget to lock the door at night when she was the last one home. We lived on a busy street in a sketchy neighborhood. She would also let her male cousin sleep on our couch without asking or telling us. Door-to-door salesmen loved her because she would always let them in. And when they had the audacity to tell us that she felt... Oh, wait. And then she had the audacity to tell us that she felt unsafe in our house and that's why she was moving out. We all felt safer after she moved out. Yeah, I know it's easy when you... I don't know where you live, but I guess in Utah in general, it's easy to be like, we don't need to lock the doors because nothing bad's going to happen. And maybe this is toxic of me, but like, it could. Something bad could happen. Like, you need to lock your doors because it's easy. It's really easy to go over there and just like lock it. And it prevents a lot of things. Like, if someone wanted to break into your house, it would, you know, make it harder for them. So they would probably move on to another house where the door is unlocked, because then that would be easier. So let's just get in the habit, everybody, of locking our doors at night and probably even during the day, because there's people who break in during the day as well. And door-to-door salesmen, We used to get so many at our house. And one time one of them invited themselves into my home. And I literally told them, they handed me this box that was unmarked, unlabeled. He just shoved it into my hands and then stepped into my house and started telling me about some air conditioning thing. And I was like, step out of my house, get out of my house. I am not interested. And I shoved the box back into his hands and shut the door. And then I should have gotten a no soliciting sign, but I didn't. I didn't get one till recently. And I've only had one person knock on the door, and they were like, I see you have some aluminum windows that you should probably have replaced. And I was like, I'm not interested. And he's like, well, why wouldn't you be interested? And I was like, because I'm not, like, I'm not interested. And he's like, well, we'll do a free estimate. And I'm like, well, I'm not interested in paying ever. So he's like, well, why wouldn't you want them looked at? And I'm like, please leave. Okay. I'm not interested. Go away. Never tell them that your husband's not home. Like, if they're like, can I speak to your husband? Just say, no. Say, no, you don't need to talk to my husband. I handle that kind of stuff around the house. Or just tell them, like, we're not interested. Just, like, don't give up that you're home alone or that you're home with your kids, because most of the time they're probably just regular old salesmen, but you never know. Anyway, moral of the story, lock your doors, and yeah, then you won't have people coming into your house at night. Also, not cool that she would invite her male cousin over, because, you know, to her, she's like, it's my cousin, I know him. But it doesn't matter, because you don't know him. Like, you have to make sure it's okay with all of your roommates before you invite anybody into the home, into your dorm, whatever. Anybody. Even if you're just hanging out, I feel like you should tell your roommates, like, hey, I have friends coming over, or hey, my weird male cousin is coming over and he might sleep on our couch, you know? Just a heads up would be great. Okay, next one says, I have a roommate who literally never cleaned anything. She would leave food in the fridge for months, leave dishes in the sink for weeks, and when it was her turn to take out the trash, it would pile up and overflow. I would finally do her chores when our house smelled like rotten garbage. It was disgusting. I felt like her maid. Please don't ever do that to a roommate. Yeah, there's a lot of stories about, like, being your roommate's mom or their maid or, you know, butler, but I don't understand. I mean, as an adult, why don't you understand that you need to clean up? Like, even if your parents did it for you when you lived at home, wouldn't you notice the smell? Like, if the dishes in the sink stink, why wouldn't you clean them? You know, and leaving them in there for weeks is horrendous, because if I leave my dishes in the sink, even overnight, sometimes in the morning, I'm like, ugh, this is disgusting. Or even for a day, you know, I'm not saying that I do my dishes, you know, like, my sink is full of dishes every once in a while, most of the time actually, but leaving them in there for weeks, you were probably growing something new. You were probably growing something that scientists need to study. So that's disgusting. And I feel for you. Okay. Next one. I never had a super bad roommate. I'm going to save this one for last because it's actually really sweet. So let me skip it. Okay. Next one says, instead of washing, I already read this one. Okay. This one says, used pad on the floor with, like, the smiley face with the hearts around it. I have no words. That's a biohazard. That is a biohazard. And I'm hoping it was the bathroom floor, because that's a little more understandable. But if it was just, like, in the hallway or, like, on the living room floor, ew. Used pads are sick. I'm sorry. I know people are like, periods aren't gross, but yeah, they are. They're a little bit gross. Okay. Like, I know it's just, you know, fluids that come out of people's bodies. Gross. I don't want to touch them. And specifically, menstrual fluids. I'm sorry. This is disgusting, but, like, I don't want to be handling anybody's period products ever. And I hope you told her, well, I don't know. How did you know it was hers? Maybe there was some context. I don't know. But this reminds me of a story when I played soccer. One time we were playing a game and the ref, I don't know how the game stopped. Somebody noticed that there was a used pad on the field, and nobody wanted to pick it up, obviously. And nobody was going to claim it. Like, no, it wasn't mine. I was going to say I wasn't going to claim it, but it was not mine. But my coach, he's a doctor. So he just, like, prances out there on the field, picks up the used pad, and, like, he's, like, got it in, you know, two fingers. He's not, like, just grabbed it with his whole hand, but then prances back off and throws it in the garbage. But I still wonder to this day whose pad that was. And I hope that nobody ever found out, because that's embarrassing. But they probably tell that story. Well, maybe not. Maybe they just keep it to themselves. But I would tell that story. I'd be like, one time I was playing soccer and I was running and my pad just fell out. Also, like, I don't know. I mean, everybody can do whatever they want with menstrual products and what they want to use. But why not use a tampon when you're running around? You know, I just feel like that would make things a little bit more convenient, especially if you're wearing like compression shorts. Not compression shorts. Yeah. I don't know. Spanx basically is what we would wear under our shorts. And so if you use a pad, there's nothing for like the wings to stick to. So if you get sweaty and like your shorts get sweaty, then the stickiness goes away, right? I don't know. Anyway, let's move on from that. Okay, next one says, refuse to stick to the chore chart that they helped create. I need to restart. Refuse to stick to the chore chart that they helped create, so the cleaning always falls back on me, no matter how often I bring it up. It sounds like this is a current problem. And, you know, I made a chore chart for Robbie and I, because it's not like I was like, you need help out with all the housework. I probably did say that, actually, but it made it easier to see what needed done, I guess. And I don't know where I was going with that. I don't know why I told you guys that. But anyway, I could see how you would be extremely frustrated, especially if they're the ones who brought it up, like, hey, we need to do a chore chart. And then they just were like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do it. Like, I wanted to do a chore chart so that you did everything. But yeah, anyway, I think it's always awkward too, like when you have roommates, to be like, hey, I notice our house is always like disgustingly dirty, so can we make a chore chart? Because that would be great. Yeah, that would be awkward. Okay, next one says, puts dirty dishes away. I don't understand, like, why? Actually, I knew a person once who, when they were done with a spoon, they would just lick it and put it back in the drawer. And, I mean, they all had their own spoons, but still, I was like, yeah, that's not clean. You still need to wash it, even if you can't see food on it. It still needs washed. So, that's disgusting. Have you guys ever, ran the dishwasher, or thought you ran the dishwasher, and then you unload it, and then when you reload it, but when you go to put new soap in, you notice that it never dispensed the soap, so you just filled your cupboards with dirty dishes? Because I've done that, and hopefully that's all this was to this roommate. But I'm guessing, I mean, it's really short, there's no context, but because you sent it in, I'm guessing that it was more than this, that they just put dirty dishes away. Okay, this one is really disgusting. Having sex in my room and didn't tell me, just walked into my room and I smelt it. Ew. I don't have any feedback or thoughts on this, because it's just gross. If you can smell it, ew. I don't even want to talk about that. That's disgusting. And I'm so sorry. Also, why not have sex in your own room? Like, why didn't they go in their own room? Okay, next one says, used a half bottle of body wash over 9 months. When we opened her room, the smell choked us out, and we took 2 full days for the dirt. Hold on. I'm still thinking about the other one. Okay. When we opened her room, the smell choked us, and it took 2 full days of the door being completely open for it to be bearable to walk in. We traded rooms. I wonder if, I don't know, the whole we traded rooms kind of throws me off. But yeah, when people just straight up don't shower, I'm like, I think it gets to a point where people don't smell themselves. Like, they don't know they stink. And so I don't know. It's like people who are like, well, I don't wear deodorant. And they say it like as if we would be shocked. And we're like, yeah, we know. Like, we know you don't wear deodorant. You know what I mean? It's, and people who are like, yeah, I don't go through body wash very fast. And you're like, you probably shouldn't tell people that. Or like, I never have to buy a new bar of soap. Mine lasts forever. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. You just don't shower, or you don't use enough. Okay, let's move on to this next one. It is kind of a long one, so buckle up. Hopefully I can read it and get through it. Okay, it says, I had a pretty weird roommate in college, and this isn't just your classic leave dishes in the sink kind of situation. The guy never saw daylight, only emerged from his lair to stock up on pizza rolls. You know, the kind of guy who just vanishes for days and no one's sure if he's alive or if he's merged with his beanbag chair? Yeah, that's him. Every time he opened the door, it was like, imagine someone microwaved a sock full of mold and depression. Just wafted through the hallway like a fart ghost. Horrific. That is a picture right there, a fart ghost. He had blocked out his windows, always kept the lights off. It was like Dracula's crypt in there. No one knew what horrors lay within. And of course, you don't want to be the guy who goes in and finds out. But then, plot twist, the guy goes full Houdini, vanishes. Over 2 weeks, nothing, no sound, no smell, which was more suspicious. We knocked a few different times and got nothing. All of us in the apartment were going, do we go in and check on him? Or just assume he's moved out and not told us? Finally, we go in, kick in the door like we were in a low-budget cop show. And boom, we were hit with this ungodly stench. Like a landfill and boys' locker room, it had a love child. Socks, half-eaten food, garbage everywhere. Looked like a raccoon had been nesting in a pile of whatever it could gather off of the street. Here's the kicker, though. No dude. Just an empty stink cave. Like he'd taken off for a weekend without telling anyone. Maybe to gather more filth? No idea. We didn't touch anything. We just noped the hell out and pretended it never happened. He randomly showed back up a few days later. We never told him. Just back to pretending like the monster under the bed didn't exist. Classic roommate stuff. Solid 10 out of 10 nightmare fuel. You know, this is back to, like, the roommates being disgusting and having bad, you know, hygiene. Well, I don't know if it's hygiene necessarily, but I assume if your room looks like this, that your hygiene also is not fantastic. But I guess I can't assume that. But yeah, the whole stench from a room is so real. And I wonder if these people are just nose blind, like they truly can't smell how bad it smells, or if they just literally don't care. They're like, I do not want to clean this up. And I mean, they kind of joked in this story about it being what was the word, something about something in depression. And this is probably, I mean, I can't assume that everybody who's filthy has depression, but it's probably a little bit mixed in there, because that is a classic sign, you know, when you don't want to clean anything up, that is definitely a sign of depression. So I do feel for this guy for sure. But also, even if you don't talk to your roommates, I do think that that you should, just for like the safety of probably everybody involved, tell them that you're leaving. And don't, I don't know, because there are some times when, I mean, it's safety. I don't know, if your roommate's been missing for a couple days, you haven't seen them, I think it is okay to open their door to see if they're in there, because you never know, you know. So I think you guys did the right thing. Maybe you should have done it before 2 weeks had passed. I don't know. I can't say what I would actually do in that situation, because I've never been in it. But yeah. Anyway, that was a very descriptive and painted quite the picture. So thank you for that picture that you painted in all of our minds. But let's move on to the next one. This is the one I wanted to save for the last, because it's really sweet. So next one says, I never had a super bad roommate, just odd ones. Like one of them only ate microwaved bacon that she stored in the freezer and popcorn. That's it. Bacon and popcorn. You know, sounds like a typical day for me, but whatever. Other ones who just didn't clean up after themselves, which is pretty typical. But I had one roommate who provided me with a semester full of odd behaviors. She was very reclusive and only came out of her room to eat and maybe poop. I hope she came out to poop. This was an apartment with 5 other people, so 6 total. And we would try to invite her to go out with us, to hang out, to go to church, or to go to the grocery store, but she always refused. Sometimes we would just open the door, after knocking, of course, to make sure she was still alive and breathing. We wanted to be her friend and friendly to her, but didn't want to be pushy. We were all juniors and seniors, and she was a freshman, just leaving home for the first time. We could all tell she wasn't doing great mentally from the beginning. She never went to any of her classes, and her family back in Michigan or Minnesota or some other state that starts with an M were doing her homework assignments for her. I'm pretty sure she was a hybrid student. Otherwise, I don't know how she would have gotten away with all of this for as long as she did. She had an online, quote, boyfriend who was 45 and she was 18. It felt very icky. Yeah, that is icky. Like he was taking advantage of a very naive, lonely girl. But the few times she did talk to us, it was one of the only things she was genuinely excited about, so we tried to be supportive. One night, she got sick and threw up in the bathroom sink. Not the toilet, the sink. That was directly in front of the toilet. She had to actively and consciously choose the bath in the sink. Choose the bath in the sink. Instead of closer to the more sanitary option of the toilet. And then she left it. It was pretty disgusting. My other roommate was a sweetheart and cleaned it up for her. One day, we came home from class in the middle of the semester, and there were like 15 strangers in the apartment cleaning her stuff out. Turns out it was her family grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, cousins, mom and dad coming to take her home. It was out of nowhere, but made so much sense. I'm pretty sure homegirl had severe depression and was in need of some serious help that we couldn't give her. It truly broke my heart for her. If nothing else, it gave me another perspective on the whole, quote, bad roommate narrative. You never know what someone is going through, so just try to be kind. I really hope she's in a better place. This is so sweet of you to think of her in this way and realize that a lot of times when people are being a bad roommate, there are probably other things going on. And I think depression is a big one, especially someone who's leaving home for the first time. I think it gets glossed over completely how hard it is to move from high school to college and to move away from your parents. People talk about it like, yeah, it's really hard, but I don't think it's talked about enough how hard it is. Like when I went to college for the first time, that was the hardest thing, one of the hardest things I've ever been through. And I didn't want people to know that it was hard because I was like, this is supposed to be fun and exciting, but it was really, really hard. I was in a really dark place for a while because it was scary moving out of my house. And so it's so sweet of you to think about, you know, you're not excusing her behavior necessarily. Like, yeah, her throwing up in the sink was disgusting. Don't get me wrong. And you understand that, but you're also remembering that she had some other stuff going on. So that's just a good thing, I think, to end on, is to remind us, like, yeah, these stories are funny and fun to talk about, but it's also good to remember that you never know what's going on with somebody and to be a little bit gracious when these kind of things happen. So thank you guys all for submitting your stories, and I hope you have a fantastic week. I will see you next week. I have a guest coming on, so I'll leave you guys with that and be excited. And yeah, bye.